Mouth or Heart is our title today. Isaiah 29, 11 to 19 is our text. We're in Isaiah again. It's been a little while, but we've been here before. We find the Old Testament, we've been going through the Old Testament this summer, some of the texts that are tied with our gospel text. And as we study the Old Testament, as we look at the text, we find that even though the full gospel message is given in the New Testament, the Old Testament is helpful and it's important as we uncover what we find in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And that's particularly true in a text like today's Gospel text, where we actually have the Old Testament text quoted in that Gospel text. Sometimes as we go through the lectionary, we might wonder, okay, why was this text chosen to match up with this Gospel text, New Testament text? In this case, it's pretty clear. Because we have that quotation. That's why it was chosen. Now, the Old Testament texts still tell the gospel message as we go through. We might think of the Old Testament as being all full of rules. But the Old Testament texts tell the gospel message. Kind of like, not quite ripe, right? If you think about a plant growing, you can see, like one of the things we have in our garden, we have some corn, we have some tomatoes, some melon. And as you see those things growing, you can see what they are, you can see them developing. They're not quite ripe yet, but you can see them developing. They start to take shape. And the same is true when we find and go through the Old Testament and find what God has to say there. The thing is developing. The gospel message is developing until it is ripe in the New Testament in Jesus. Now, as we get to this text in Isaiah that we have here, we're not sure exactly the time frame that this was given in. He prophesied all the way from King Uzziah all the way to King Hezekiah. So several different kings there, generations. He was through that time for several decades. In the middle there, so Uzziah and Hezekiah were good kings that relatively well followed what God wanted. They did that relatively well. In the middle there, you had Ahaz, who was a bad king, who didn't. He kind of turned away to his own way of kind of thinking about things and doing things. Many of the people followed him as well and turned away from that. And we find that that's often the reality, that leaders can often make a big impact on the people. And so in chapter 28, before the chapter we're in here today, Isaiah has a woe to the leaders. They're not leading the people as they should. In fact, they're leading the people astray. Then in chapter 29 that we're in here, he focuses on the city, on David's city. Woe to David's city. It's called Ariel in this, not really anywhere else, but it's called that here, which is actually a word that means altar hearth, and it highlights the place where God has designated to worship him, but they're not really doing that, or not doing it well. And so he says, woe to that city there that should be a place of worship, but is distracted, that is doing something different. The city will be besieged. In the verses leading up to what we have today, the city will be besieged. It will be brought low. It will be brought down into the dust. In repentance, we will hear a whisper from the city, and then God will destroy the enemies that are around. Now, if this prophecy was given in Hezekiah's day and referring to what would happen in his day, we saw that happen, right? They trusted in God. The enemy surrounded. It was besieged. But God saved them and destroyed the enemy, sent them back to their home country. Later on, the city would be surrounded and it would actually be destroyed. And the people would be taken into exile. But even there, God would still work and bring them back. But as Isaiah is speaking this prophecy, even here, as we saw before with Jeremiah, the people don't listen. Even with Isaiah, the people don't listen. They don't understand. And in some ways, they don't want to. They don't want to understand. They like the way that they see the world, and they want to continue in it. And in some ways, because of that, God has even hidden the meaning from them. Because that's kind of what they want. And he's just giving that to them. And so they're not understanding the message. So that's where we get to, and we kind of continue with that thought as we get into our text for today. Isaiah 29, 11 to 19. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Isaiah 29:11 through 19, reading in Jesus' name. For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say, read this, please, they will answer, I can't. It is sealed. Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this, please, they will answer, I don't know how to read. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? In a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest? In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us today. And as we think about hearing and seeing and understanding, and we understand can gather here that it is easy to not understand and even turn our backs on the truth. And so as we consider this text and what it has for us today, I ask that you were to open our eyes, open our ears, so that we can see and hear the truth and be turned to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If any of the kids would like to come up to the front, I'll invite you to come up now. Hey, welcome. Glad you're up here. Hey, I want to ask you guys something. Do your parents ever ask you to do something or give you any kind of instructions? Yes. Yeah, I was pretty sure that they did, so I'm glad that you answered quickly with that. Yes. What are some of the things that they tell you?
Go to your room right now or else
you won't. Oh, that's very specific. Go to your room right now or else you won't get any candy for the rest of the day. Okay, all right. All right, what else? What other kinds of things do they tell you?
Go to your room or else you won't get any TV or candy.
Oh, or go to your room or you won't get any TV or candy. Wow, there's a lot of going to room, going to your room, huh? What else?
Go to your room or else you won't watch TV ever.
Or watch TV ever. Oh, wow. Okay, oh, and then your mom and dad will put it in the trash. I don't know if we're maybe just kind of building on something here. We're kind of going off track here. Okay, do we have something else?
Stop playing video games and go to your room or else you'll never
watch TV. Okay, well, we seem to be building on the same theme. Let's see if we can go to a different, go to your room or you'll never watch TV. Okay, what else? Are there other things other than going to your room?
Clean your room.
Oh, clean your room. Okay, there we go. We still have the room theme, but we have something different. I don't think we need to worry about the consequences right now. Yeah. All right. Something else? Don't forget to do your chore. Okay. What else? What do we have over here?
Don't be bad or else your parents will hide the TV from you.
Okay. We're hiding the TV again. But don't be bad, right? So, do you have another thought here? Okay, if you don't stop talking about it, we're going to hide them. Okay, well, we're finding out about parenting methods here this morning, aren't we? But I think we have to take these comments with a grain of salt, don't we? Because we're not really sure the way that it's being interpreted, right? Well, there are a lot of things that your parents tell you, right? They might tell you to do something. They might tell you that there's a consequence, right, if you don't do something. Let me ask you this. If your parents ask you to do something and you say, okay, I'll do that, is that a good thing?
Yes.
Yeah. If you say, okay, I'll do that, and then you go do something else, is that a good thing?
No.
No, that's really not a good thing, is it? So there are ways of saying, sometimes somebody might say, oh yeah, I'll obey, I'll follow what you said.
Banter.
But then they do something totally different. And that's what we're thinking about today. God says that we often do that when it comes to God. We might say, yeah, I'll follow you. But then in our heart, yeah, there's something different. We don't really want to. We want to do our own thing. And so that's what we're thinking about today. So here on a picture, I have a mouth. It kind of thinks about talking and agreeing. And then the heart. And that's what we really believe. So, all right. Thanks for coming up. There's some more. Do you want to hand those out? No? You want to hand them out. Okay. Here you go. All right. Thanks for coming up. And hopefully nobody's TV ends up in the garbage this week.
Yes, ours did.
Yours did? Already? Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, last year, sometime during this last year, I was sitting at the kitchen table. I was looking on my phone at a manual for our dishwasher. We had a problem with the locking mechanism, and so when you would, you could close the dishwasher door, and then sometimes it would just get stuck. You couldn't open it again. And in order to get it open, you just had to yank on it as hard as you could. You could get that open, but then the lock stayed locked. And so then you couldn't close it again after that. So I had to take the cover off and get all that. So, and it would happen multiple times. So I was thinking, how do we just get this fixed permanently? I don't want to deal with this problem anymore, and it's kind of getting worse. So I was looking at the manual for the dishwasher, and I'm wondering, okay, is this a mechanical issue? Is it an electrical issue? I thought maybe there's a switch that when it's running, it kind of locks. Some of the machines do that. When it turns on, it locks. And then when it's done running, it unlocks. So I thought maybe it's that, or maybe there's a problem with how the mechanism is working. So I looked through everything mechanical, and I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see any problems. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it's electrical. Maybe there is a switch. And I'm looking at the electrical diagram in there, and I'm realizing, as I often have when I look at a wiring diagram, that I can kind of make some guesses at what it's talking about. But the reality is that if I'm really going to try to fix a problem, a wiring diagram is not going to help me very much because I really don't know enough about it to be able to figure out what's going on. And so I said, well, if this problem is electrical, I give up. I can't understand it. Well, it turns out it was a mechanical problem, the problem still persists. Anyway, we've dealt with it by taking the lock off, and now we just have to close the dishwasher with a piece of cardboard in the top. And yeah, it works. So that's a different, a little bit different solution. But the point here is that sometimes if we get to solving a problem and if what we're trying to figure out we don't understand, it's easy to just kind of give up and leave it. And sometimes like a dishwasher, it's not a big deal. But when it comes to things that are more important, like God's Word, if we just say, well, I'm not sure I quite understand, I give up. Or I don't really maybe want to understand any further, and so I stop. That's not a good idea. But the message here that is coming from Isaiah is kind of like that. It's something that we need to take in and sit with a little bit, reflect on. And we need God's guidance to understand it. And we also need the desire to want to understand it and to want to figure out how does this apply to my life, which often we might not want to do. So Isaiah says, for you, this whole vision, as he's talking about what God is going to do, that involves both destruction and punishment and his salvation. He says, for you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. The vision is clear enough, and it's not actually sealed up. It's not like Isaiah was instructed to close this up and not show it to anybody. But he said it's like that. It's like it's sealed up in a scroll because it needs a little bit of work to understand it and to want to accept it. So Isaiah, God's words through Isaiah says this: if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say, read this, please, they will answer, I can't. It's sealed. And that's it. No, there's no desire to try and understand what God's word is. It's simply, it's sealed. I don't know. I can't read it. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say, read this, please, they will answer, I can't. I don't know how to read. If they don't know how to read, they would just say, I don't know. There's no attempt to try. It's simply, I can't read. I can't understand that. It's too much. and I don't want to try. It's too much work, and I don't understand. So we might ask ourselves the question, what is our response to what we read in Scripture? Do we ever get to a point where we have something, maybe it's something that's convicting, or something that might have something we don't necessarily like to think about, and we get to that point and we say, well, I don't know, that's just a little bit too complicated for me. I don't really want to deal with that. Or maybe we have other responses that maybe are not quite like that, but also might not be the most healthy response to what we read in Scripture. We can reflect on that and think about how do we respond to what we read in Scripture. And this is what this looks like in Isaiah's day, and we can learn from this as well. The Lord says, and this is what's quoted in the New Testament, in the gospel reading, the Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. There is a ritual of worship, but they don't really know God." Now, many times in Israel's history, we find them worshiping false gods. And when that's the case, it's pretty clear to see what the problem is. Well, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping this idol. So that's pretty clear. The preaching was pretty simple. Stop worshiping that idol. You need to be worshiping God. But this is a little bit different than that. In this case, which happened also at times in Israel's history, people would worship God, worship the true God. And especially if their leaders were leading in that, in doing that, they would be more likely to worship God in that way. But even often when they were in those times where they were worshiping God, it wasn't very good. They went through the ritual of it, but it wasn't in their heart. They weren't really trusting in God. It was simply an outward sign to maybe appease God. So they were following God's teaching in a sense, but really it was just a matter of taking care of an obligation. Let's get this out of the way so we can live our lives how we want to live our lives. Their heart was not in it. The following verses then describe people who look good on the outside, but their hearts are not in it. And he says, "Woe to people who think that they can hide their hearts from God." You can't do that. As if you can do something in darkness and say, who will see it? Certainly, it might be hidden from people, but is it going to be hidden from God? There's nothing that's hidden from God. It's as if the pot is telling the potter what's what. You know, hey, I know more than you. The pot then controls the potter. And in fact, that's kind of what happens to us if we don't follow what God says. We try to form God in our image instead of acknowledging that we are created in God's image. And God says that He will respond in ways that they will be amazed by. His ways are if we're not listening to what He says, if people are not listening to what He says, the way that God works is unexpected and amazing. We don't expect it. How might these words describe us? We could reflect on that. How might these words describe us? Looking good on the outside, but on the inside, when we can't be seen or when it's hidden within us, doing things that are contrary to God's word. Before we look at the last verses of our text today, let's take a minute at where this is quoted in the New Testament. You know, the people eventually were exiled. They were taken away. Their land was conquered. The city was destroyed. They were taken away into exile. And what seems to have happened over the centuries that they were in the land, warned, they were attacked, they cried out to God, they were saved, they disobeyed Him, they were attacked, and all this through this cycle, they never learned their lesson. What seems to have happened, at least outwardly, is that they were somewhat cured of their idolatry, their outward idolatry, when they were taken into exile, into Babylon. Many of them came back to the land of Israel, and from that time on, once they were back in the land, they didn't always follow perfectly, But they at least remembered that they needed to follow God. And the whole system of the religious leaders that we read about in the New Testament, like the Pharisees, there was some good intent there. Their intent was, we don't want God to punish us in this way again. So we need to follow what He says. There was some good intent in that. In Jesus' day, they recognized then that following the law was important. They weren't going to do what their ancestors had done. At least that's what they thought. But the problem is that much of it would simply become ritual. Just a following the rules so that God would not destroy them. But what they forgot was that those rules that God set up were not simply to not have God destroy them, but they pointed to something. Something that they had forgotten but was important for them. In this case, as Jesus is talking to these religious leaders, the religious leaders bring up this idea of ritual washing, the idea of cleansing. And there's a good message in that. Some of the commands were given by God, and others were added on after that in order to keep people from breaking God's law. They kind of expanded the law outward in order to keep from, if you broke one of those outward laws, then at least you were hopefully safe from breaking God's law. But it all got enshrined in this ritual that lost the main message. So the ritual of cleansing was about needing our hearts to be cleansed. But they were focusing on the rituals of cleansing, of washing hands and washing dishes and things like that. It wasn't the main thing. And as they noted Jesus' disciples not following those rituals, they came to Jesus and objected to Him. Why are they not following this? Why don't you teach them to follow this? And Jesus quotes what we have from Isaiah, and He says it describes them. They honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. Their human traditions have become more important than God's commands. And He uses an example. He says, you are commanded, honor your father and mother. That's a command from God. But you have said that can be put aside. God's command can be put aside if somebody dedicates their resources to God, their money and resources, if they devote that to God, once it's dedicated to God, then they can't use that to honor their father and mother. If their father and mother are in need, well, they have to go someplace else. That's too bad. Because this has been dedicated to God, and we need to follow that dedication. That's what He's talking about. But what could be more important than following God's instruction? As we consider this, we might consider, what about us? Where do we worship God on the outside, but our hearts are not in it? Our hearts are far from it. You know, we might even find, it's possible to find someone who has regular in church attendance, even daily reading the Bible, and even, you know, attending Bible studies, even teaching something sometimes, talking like a Christian, speaking against false teaching, and all of that, but it might just be an outward following of the rules. There have been people who have admitted as much that that's what they were doing. They have come to a realization of who God is and what He has done, and realized all this time I was in the church and all I was doing was following rules as opposed to worshiping God. I've heard stories of missionaries even who have gone to other countries to bring the gospel message to those countries, and years later have said, I didn't even, what message was I bringing? I didn't even hardly believe it myself. I was just doing this to do what I thought was right and good, but it wasn't really in my heart. Now, we probably don't see that extreme all that often, but maybe there are some areas of life where we see this as a reality. What things do we do, maybe in our faith, that are simply done out of habit, but not with any meaning? What times in life, we could each reflect on this, what times in life are we just looking more on the horizontal plane of this life Even in our faith habits, we're looking more on the level of this life as opposed to looking to eternity and to God. We're not looking up. In those times when we have that happen, we are not always hearing the message. It's right there for us to hear, but we might not be hearing. And here we get to the conclusion then of our text here this morning, and hopefully we can be convicted of the wrong in our lives without having invading armies surround us and being exiled. I hope we don't have to have that happen. I think you probably hope that too, right? None of us is looking for that. But as we get to the conclusion, we find that God works in ways that are not expected. And in many ways, it's not expected because, you know, we're simply not listening to what God is saying. If we were listening and hearing His Word, we might not be surprised by them. But He says He works in ways that are a surprise. First comes destruction. First comes humiliation. If we are only serving God outwardly, we can expect conviction, humiliation from that. But then comes God's salvation. He doesn't leave us there. In a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest? It represents God working a good harvest in people's hearts. In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll. Deaf don't hear, right? But they will hear the words of the scroll. And out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. You know, the blind don't see. That's the point. That's what it means to be blind. But the blind will see. And here we could say, not necessarily just willfully ignorant, but deaf and blind to God's Word. Not understanding without God doing something to help us understand. But now, understanding. Now coming to a point of understanding as God's work is revealed to us in Jesus. And this text, our text today finishes with this. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. When God's Word brings us back to Him, when God's Word reveals our hidden hearts that don't always follow Him, He invites us to repent of those times and those ways that we do maybe honor Him with our mouths, but our hearts are far from Him. And you know what? The reality is that we might even be at a point where we don't even feel like our mouths have been honoring Him. Maybe we can't even claim that much sometimes. But His invitation is there. When we humble ourselves and when we come before Him, and we realize that there's no possible way for us to hide from Him, He rescues us. The enemies disappear around us. We are needy before Him, but He provides. So I'll just in closing here, I'll speak a word kind of to you, and we can each, I mean, it's to me too, right? Each one of us can consider these words. Examine your life. Examine your life. Where is your heart far from God? Even maybe while your lips and mouth honor Him, where is your heart far from God? Don't abandon the word that is spoken. Don't pretend you don't understand, but listen. Humble yourself. Receive God's forgiveness. Be encouraged by His love. Worship Him with your heart. That is the invitation that we have given to us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your words here. Thank You for the, in a sense, opening up of our lives, opening up of our hearts to see what is truly there. Even though our mouths may say something different, our mouths may praise You, but we know there are areas where our hearts are not in it. Thank You that Your Word opens us up to see that. And I ask that You would help us to do that, to see the places where what we do in our worship of You is simply the going through the motions. Help us to see that and help to change our hearts so that it would truly be worshiping and praising You. and that we would receive your forgiveness as we humble ourselves before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.